It is so very good to see all of you here this evening with angelic voices leading us along our way as we make our way to Bethlehem in the manger. You know, we will be back in the morning at 10 a.m., and I hope to see all of you back in here at that time as we continue this feast of Christmas. In a few moments, as the light of the candles makes its way around the sanctuary, we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, which has one of my favorite lines of all of the Christmas carols. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That line seems particularly important right now for sake of the tumult going on around us and for many of us, the tumult within us or within our families. That line reminds us that we don't check our lives at the door when we make our way with the shepherds and angels to Bethlehem, but that we bring our joy and our grief, our laughter and our pain, our hopes and our fears with us to the one who awaits us at the manger. And we've come through a very difficult year. Too often, we haven't treated one another very well. On both sides of whatever aisles may have been in play, our struggles, be they in politics or global tensions, have led to a weariness and a wariness in our world unlike anything I have seen. You may remember the old King James version of Luke's Christmas story that we just heard, where those shepherds were sore afraid. That's the kind of feeling that I am discerning these days. Years ago, Madeline Lingle lamented, "There is no time for a child to be born, with the earth betrayed by war and hate and a nova lighting the sky, to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late." But then she reminds us, that was no time for a child to be born. In a land in the crushing grip of Rome, honor and truth were trampled by scorn. Yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on planet Earth, and by greed and pride the sky is torn. Yet love still takes the risk of birth. And that's the news we hear tonight. The message of the angels, the witness of the shepherds, they all bear witness to the vulnerable, risk-taking love of God incarnate in this boy child of Mary. God is not put off by our fears, nor by our brokenness, nor by our inn being full. God comes to us anyway, pushing into the midst of all of it for sake of love. And this love, it changes us. At least it should anyway. Now, if you're wondering whether this love needs to change you particularly or maybe just the people around you, then speak with me after worship. I'll let you know. This love has the power to draw us out from these bunkers in which we are so tempted to hunker down, enabling us through its very vulnerability to share in this reconciling love that this child brings into the world. This love enters into us, it binds us to one another and to this world. In 1934, in a particularly difficult time in Germany, a young pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached a sermon. There are lots of things that he could have preached about in those days, but he preached a sermon about love, the lasting power of love, God's love particularly, and our love that comes from God. He notes that we waste an awful lot of our time and energy on things that just really don't matter that much. That every now and then we may realize that we have done nothing that really seems to have lasting value. But every now and then, an act of love or a loving thought for someone else creeps through. And those are the things, he says, that last. Where all this is leading, he says, is clear. Everything, all our knowledge, insight, thinking, talking, everything should in the end move toward and turn into love. For only what we think because of love and in love will remain. Because love is God's very self and God's will. That's why he says it never ends. It never doubts. It stays its course. It goes out to enemies as well as to friends. And it never abandons anyone, even when it is abandoned by everyone. Love follows after its beloved through guilt and disgrace and loneliness, all of which are no part of it. It is simply there and it never ends. And it blesses every place it enters. I know. What use is love in the face of such power as we see around us that seems so daunting? Well, here's the thing. Back in the day, Augustus Caesar had power. We're not here tonight singing about his birth. You see, the joyful news of Christmas is that despite our fears and worries, maybe even because of them, God comes to us not in power but in love, vulnerable love, blessing us, meeting our hopes and our fears with love incarnate. But that's not all that God does. This God then has the audacity to expect that we enflesh our love in deeds of love for other people, even the ones who are the most unlovely. It's also God's hope that our joy at such news as this might fuel our resistance to those forces around us that would continue to stir our fears. No act of love is ever wasted, and every expression of joy has the power to reduce our fear. For love and joy both come to us from God, not so that we might escape this world, but so that we might live fully and faithfully right smack in the middle of it. As we share our feast of love at the table in a few moments, may we find ourselves blessed by the abiding presence of our Lord. And as we rise from that table and go into this world, may our hearts be full to overflowing, that we might bless every place we enter with gifts of love and joy. After all, this child whose birth we celebrate tonight is forming us and shaping us to be loving and joyful people. May the peace and the love and the joy of Christ be with us all on this most holy Christmas night and in every season to come. Amen.